chapter 6 and verse 10. I feel like I've said that for the last 6 months. Finally, my brethren, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. If you ever wonder what to pray for me about, that's it. That I would be given words, utterance. And you know, and sometimes it's so amazing how you can see things in your heart and you can see things in your life, but communicating it is a real difficulty, you know, to be able to communicate things. So that would be a good prayer. But today we're focusing on, we looked at the wiles of the devil. We spent a lot of time in that. We've seen how it was discouragement, cults, heresies. We've looked at all the different things that lack of balance, the different things that can come our way. And now, after seeing the attacks of the devil and how he is mighty, I mean, I think we need to understand the devil is mighty. And I don't want to focus on him. I don't want to give him much attention. But, I mean, we do need to realize he is mighty. After realizing that and how clever he is, there is a command from the king through one of his soldiers to the rest of the soldiers saying, hey, it's time to fight. It's time to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It is a word sent out to the Christian army with the enemy standing in position facing it. So the believer sees all of a sudden, man, he is clever, he is mighty. What do we do? And there's a call for battle. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I don't know if you guys have watched the movie of on Braveheart by Mel Gibson on the life of Wallace, William Wallace, who Paul Drain wishes he was him. But he's not, you know. And William, in this movie, one of my favorite scenes in the whole movie was when they're about to fight the enemy and they're scared. They see the might of the enemy and they just get fearful and begin to shrink back. And that horse ride, as he goes from side to side and he says to them, men of sons of Scotland. You know, is that a good accent or no? He says, he says, sons of Scotland. Yeah. One of these days, I'm going to wear my kilt. You know, I've got one. I actually got one. But he says to them, you know, you can go home and you will live. Or you can fight and you may die. But if you go home years from now, you will be lying on your beds just wishing for one chance. Just one chance to tell these people that they can take our lives, but they cannot take our freedom. And man, we hear stuff like that in our hearts. I mean, it's almost like our hearts just jump, don't they? It's just like, oh, I wish I would. You know, it's like you want to be that. And you know what? We are that. There is a call, an infinitely greater call for battle to us, not from William Wallace, but from Jesus Christ, that the Christian life is not a playground, but is a battleground, and we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. But then we have to ask ourselves a question, what does it mean to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might? Because sometimes we come around people that are Christians and they are genuine Christians, but they just learn how to repeat phrases. So it's like a parrot, you know, and they're just like, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And then they just sort of, they're like a Christian machine gun, you know, it's like, just one Bible after another, but never a how or why do we do the things that we do? Why do we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might? What does it mean to be strong in the power of His might? And repeating it is not enough. And the Bible should never be turned into some drug that we get a high out of. It's a book that we need to understand and apply to our lives. And the Bible tells us that the enemy is a roaring lion. And many people like to say that the roaring lion is just a roaring lion without teeth. And although I would agree with that to some degree, my question is, if he's got no teeth, why are so many people shipwrecked? And I believe that we need to take heed to these words of be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. If we are to stand, we need His strength. His strength to withstand the evil day. And not every day is alike, is it? Have you noticed? I mean, I got a Bible verse the other day. But a couple months ago, I got a Bible verse. What I mean by I got a Bible verse means is I'm reading my Bible and I'm understanding my Bible. There's sometimes where something just hits you more profoundly and more directly than usually does. And you think to yourself, oh boy, this is not just a lesson I need to learn. This is something that's going on. This is something that's happening in my life. And God wants to speak into that area of my life right now. You know the difference between the word and a word. And you know what? This is what came. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contend with you, those who war against you shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand. I will help you. And I kind of thought, there's nothing going on in my life, Lord. I'm fine. It wasn't an evil day. But I tell you what, the evil day came afterwards. I was prepared beforehand to be able to stand on that evil day. And how many times the Lord's saying, come on, let me prepare you. But listen, we need to realize that there's going to be days that are evil in our life. Sometimes it's going to be temptation. There's the story about this man who was in India, and he sees a lovely girl across the water. And he thinks to himself, who's going to know? My wife's not here. I'm with nobody, and it's not like this woman is going to go back to my country and tell my wife what I've done. He says, this is my chance, the evil day. And he began to swim towards her, and he began to just fantasize about what he was going to do with this girl. And as he got to the other side, he realized that the woman was a leper. And that her nose was missing, her ears were missing, and that she was completely deformed. He had seen only a silhouette from the distance. The closer he got, the more he realized, what a monster. And then the question came back, no, what a monster you are. Or the answer came back. And he began to see his own heart. But you know those evil days of temptation. The evil days. We need to be strengthened because of those evil days that come our way. Sometimes it's evil days of circumstances. Sometimes it's that illness that we don't want to know nothing about. Sometimes it's people that isolate themselves from us, that betray us. And because of that, because of the evil day, we need strength to withstand the evil day. Now why, and I'm sort of got a little ahead of myself, why should I be strong in the Lord? And in the and what is the application of being strong in the Lord? First of all, we need to be strong in the Lord because of the power of the enemy. We like to sing about it. But then we kind of think, don't give too much credit to the devil. But think of Martin Luther. He said, were we in our own strength to fight, our striving would be losing. I mean, there's no way. We wouldn't be able to do it. We're not the right man on our side. And for that, we could turn to Jude. Turn to Jude turn to Jude verse 9. There's no chapters in Jude. It's just one chapter. And listen to what the archangel says in verse, I think it's 9. It might be 19. Yeah, verse 9. It says, yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not to bring against them a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Now notice, even Michael the archangel doesn't just have this head-on thing. He just says, the Lord deal with you. And I love what Pastor Chuck always says. I never get into confrontations with the enemy. I just always keep the Lord between us. But because of his strength, we need to be strong in the Lord because he is the one that's stronger than anybody. And if you are to stand, number two, in the evil day, you need this strength. So when we talk about these evil days, whether it's temptation, whether it's circumstances, if we are going to stand uprightly, if we're going to cruise right through it like some people do, that you find that these people live in another sphere, you're like, how in the world can they handle so many trials? If we are to stand in the evil day, we have to learn how to tap, how to be strong in the power of the Lord, in the power of Jesus Christ, in the power of his Spirit. The reality is that there are international tensions. I mean, even now as we have Remembrance Sunday, I think of Martin Lloyd-Jones as he was in Westminster Chapel in central London, and bombs are falling left and right. And rather than saying, we can't have church, he just keeps having church and keeps preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is a man who was strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Who cares what comes our way? Sin and evil, the currents of sin and evil, and we see people just heading towards evil and evil and evil, and you just think to yourself, how in the world can we stand against so much evil? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Another reason or application is that we want to be strong in the Lord is to avoid personal failure. You know, I think one of the biggest challenges in my life, and I've been a Christian for about 14, 15 years now, and I think the most overwhelming thing and probably the greatest attack that the devil brings upon my life on a regular basis is, I will get you before you finish well. This is what he did to John Bunyan. I don't know if you read his biography, but in his biography, he talks how he would be assaulted, and the devil would say to him, you know, I'm going to cool you. It's not going to be in a day. I've got a long time to do it, but I'll cool you slowly but surely until you have no love for Jesus Christ. And the reality that these, you know, in my life of saying, oh, Lord, I don't want to just walk with you for 10 years. I don't want to walk with you for 15 years. I don't want to walk with you for 20 years. I want to be a person that walks with you to about my very last breath before I take my real first breath. I want to walk. I want to finish well. And if we want to finish the race well, we need to be people that have learned to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And we all know that there's many personal failures. We've seen them around us. And I don't say this so we would judge people, but rather so that we take heed lest we ourselves fall from the same steadfastness. But a higher reason, I believe for our desire to be strong and our need to be strong in the Lord is because we bear His name and His reputation is in our hands. Jesus' reputation is in our hands, believe it or not. And you know what? Kennedy said, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country, putting the responsibility onto the people. It was Churchill that said, who knows, years from now they will say this was their finest hour. And he just, Paul just gave me this. He wishes he had said it himself, but it says, never has so much been owed by so many to so few. And the reality of people being loyal to the cause, people being loyal to the country, people being loyal to the kingdom, infinitely more when it comes to our Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, Nelson, and this is where it hits a sensitive side on me, because Nelson went to battle with 27 ships against 33, sank 22 of them, partly were Spanish. It was a naval force of Spanish and French. But you know what? When they were about to face all these boats, all these ships, and they were going to battle, this is what he said to them. England expects every man, that every man will do his duty. The reality that we represent the nation, we represent the name of someone, and there's nothing worse in war, for example, that when they do war crimes and you're like, you just misrepresented your country, and we carry the honor of our Lord Jesus Christ with our lives, and our desire should be, Lord, make me stronger that I may honor you with my life, with my lips, with my actions, with my thoughts, with everything that I am. The name of the country is in our hands, and the name of His kingdom in many ways is in our hands. And you know what? Nietzsche said this, those Christians must show me that they are redeemed before I believe in their Redeemer. Powerful words. Talk is cheap. Life is what is seen. And we should be there and saying, Lord, teach us to be strong in you. Make us strong in you that we might bring honor and glory to your name. And there's no better way of giving proof of the gospel than we should be strong in the Lord. To live right is difficult. And when we see someone who is succeeding, someone who can stand against the enticements and the insinuations of evil, someone who is not carried away off his feet by the popular thing, someone who stands steadfastly for truth, and for everything that is worthy, we are greatly encouraged. And I believe non-Christians need to see Christians functioning in reality and really strengthened in the Lord. And I believe that that will preach the gospel much more than many words. Although I believe with all my heart in opening our mouths to share the gospel, I do believe that we shortchange ourselves if we are not mighty indeed and in word, because after all, Jesus and Moses were both mighty in both of them. And you know what? I see sometimes a difference between what I say and what I do. And I say, oh Lord, please narrow it. Make me one all the way through. Not to be carried away by temptation. Oh, can you imagine? I mean, you get to a certain place where, like Billy Graham, for example, you get to a certain place where you're rubbing with presidents and you're rubbing with governors and with movie stars, and all of a sudden they start handing you a million here and a million there, and then all of a sudden and this did not happen with him, by the way. I'm just saying. I'm looking at what if that happened to me? The temptation would be incredible. But you know, you need that strength within, not just to talk the right thing, but to live the right thing. And it should be our desire. In the present world, we live in a world surrounded by people who are blinded and carried away by evil ways to do his will by the devil. And to see one person standing against the flow is just so encouraging. Think of Martin Luther. where he said to the whole Catholic system as they were coming at him with and they were coming against the indulgences, and he says that is not biblical. And he was talking about the corruption within the priesthood, within the prostitutes and the things that were going on in Rome. And he was talking about the justification by faith rather than by works. And he stands there and before the whole council, and he says, "Here I stand. I can do no other unless you can convince me by plain reason and biblical truth. I cannot and I will not recant." And you know how that strengthened those around them? How do you think that strengthened everybody around them? Everybody just began to cheer and say, "He's right." And they grabbed strength. Why? Because he had grabbed strength from the Lord. We need people with backbone in the kingdom of God. That's why we need to be strengthened. But also, we also need to realize our own weakness and our own need of help. That's another reason to be strengthened. We need to realize our own weaknesses. I think sometimes we like to pretend that we're much more than we really are. We like to think that we can really take it, and particularly guys. I think there's this thing where guys are just sort of, they don't like to, you know the stereotype. They don't like to ask for directions. They don't like to admit any weaknesses. And I think that as guys, we have that danger that we like to, we've been told that a man is supposed to be strong. And I believe so, but I think we need to realize that we're also weak. And when we realize our weaknesses, that is half the battle right there, is when we neglect to look at them. And we see in the Bible how no man was ever able to stand. I mean, think about it. Look at Adam, perfect in fellowship with God. And yet, he was enticed to think that God was not just towards him. And this man who was perfect before God, sinless, was deceived by the devil into thinking that God had treated him unfairly. Think of how many people are under that sway today. And we need to realize our weakness. The Old Testament, the patriarchs, the prophets, the kings. Do you realize in the kings that we have King Saul, the first Jewish king, who was a disaster, completely enticed. And it says this about him. Samuel looked at him and says, "When you were little in your own eyes." When you were little in your own eyes. See, when he was called to be king, he realized, "Oh man, I'm just a young guy, and I come from a normal family. How can you choose me?" But then it all went to his head. Who blew up his head for him to think above what he should think about himself? Who blew it up? It was the devil. Think about David. Here's a man after God's own heart. And he's there, his soldiers are at battle, and he looks at some girl on top of a roof and says, "Wow! Who's that? Bring her to me." And then he has relations with her. And not only that, in order to conceal what had happened because he left her pregnant, he actually says, "Oh, well, send them to the front lines." And he was guilty of killing one of his mighty soldiers. Here's the greatest king of Israel with such a horrific thing. How did he come to do that if it was not an evil day that came at him in a moment of weakness? Then we have the King Solomon, who multiplied horses and women. Then we have the division of the kingdom, and you have the nation of you have Israel and Judah. And if you look at the nation of Israel, you see that all the kings they have, it always says the same thing: they did evil in the eyes of the Lord. When you look at the kings of Judah, only 7 did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and of those 7, only 6. I mean, all 6 of them, it says, "But this happened." And one, it doesn't say that he's without fault, it just doesn't name it. But you see the weakness of man against the wiles of the devil. The saints, Christians throughout history, had said, I mean, when you think about just one of them, think of John Bunyan writing Pilgrim's Progress. That is a guy telling you the Christian life is a dangerous journey. It's a battle. But then your own experience should tell you, if you feel that you are so very strong as a Christian, let me ask you, why have you failed so much? And why do you still fail? And what happens to your resolutions? Why are we so often in a place of repentance? Why attacked with feelings of utter hopelessness and despair? Why do we get attacked that way? Why do we feel that way? Why do we keep failing if we don't need to be strong or to be strengthened? And we need to realize our own weaknesses that we might desire and pray and apply what it is to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And we must face this honestly. And I think it's not easy for anybody to admit it. I mean, nobody finds it easy in saying, I'm actually pretty weak. I mean, nobody goes around saying stuff like that. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul had to be given a thorn in the flesh. And then he says, hey, the Lord said to him, my power is made perfect in your weakness. He actually had to be brought so low. I think a lot of people don't become Christians because they're so self-sufficient. But when they come to a crisis that they realize their mortality, it's not a bad thing when a person realizes, I'm just a man. I'm just weak. And when they realize that, man, I need the Lord in my life. As a matter of fact, it was the Pharisees who thought that they didn't need anybody. It was the religious people who said, we're fine. And Jesus said, it's not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. The greater you see your weakness, the more you will realize that you need His strength. And you know what? How principles of life are great. I mean, in philosophy, I mean, some of us are professional philosophers and we love to have great principles in our life, but and people can talk about it, they can write about it, they can argue about it, but the reality is that you can write books on ethics and you can live horribly. Think about poets. The biggest love poem writers, the people that have written the best love poems, look at their lives. You know, people that there is no love. When you get to the bottom of it, it's like the desire, the ideal is there, but how to perform this thing is not present, says Romans. So principles are good, and it's something right, but it cannot be by itself alone. Human willpower is great. And we do have a lot of willpower to some degree. I mean, we make resolutions and then we break them all the time. But a lot of times through willpower, we can achieve great things, but willpower alone is not going to do it. We need the strength of God in our life. And you think of Wycliffe. Wycliffe was about to translate the Bible. He had the church against him for translating the Bible into a common language, which was English from Latin. And he gets to the point where he gets before that chapel, he gets on his knees, and he said, oh Lord, strengthen my will. And in a sense, willpower is cement. But there's a big difference between cement and iron bars in the cement. When you put those iron bars, that thing is, it's much stronger. And in a sense, we can have our own willpower. But man, when the Lord Himself strengthens, He is the iron. He is the iron in our life, and that's cement. And we need that strength in our life. And we must realize that living the Christian life does not follow automatically upon conversion. You know, sometimes I think, ideally we think that when we become Christians, now everything's going to be fine and we're going to cruise through it. But we see the need for our lives to be strengthened because when a person becomes a Christian, it begins there. It doesn't end there. There's a transformation, there's a new creation. But if it all ended with conversion, then the New Testament would not be written. Think about it. The New Testament is written so that people could grow in their Christian life. And what do we have? We have babies that are born and they're weak and you got to hold their head because it goes everywhere. There's a weakness. But as they grow, they get strong and they get stronger and they get stronger. And you might try to box a baby Tyson, but you're not going to box the real Mike Tyson. You're going to need to be strong for that. And you see that in the attacks, we need to, there needs to be that thing within our hearts that says, We've got to be strong in a power that is above our power, in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, having realized that, why we need to be strong, and that in and of myself I am essentially weak because I am still in the flesh, and that the flesh wars against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh in our life, what's next? How do we apply this power? How do we know about this? Well, the first thing is to realize that the Lord is strong. The Lord is stronger than the devil. There is no yin-yang sort of thing where there's supposedly or dualism where there's equal power between the two. There is no match. And Jesus is more powerful than anyone or anything in all of history, in the universe, and even to eternity. We need to realize that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are saved. And in the name represents Him and who He is, and what and who He is. And we must realize the greatness of His strength. And now, what does it mean with the power of His might? Where do you see this strength? And you know what? We see the power of Jesus Christ in His life. We see the power of the Lord, the power of the Father and of the Spirit. We see it manifested in the life of Jesus Christ. He came into the world as a man. He knew hunger. He knew thirst. He knew tiredness. He knew weakness. He knew what it was to be disappointed with people. He knew what it was to be betrayed, to be left completely alone. And yet, look at the Gospels. You look at the life of Jesus. They're trying to trap Him. They're trying to mess with Him. They say, well, is it right to heal on the Sabbath? Or you know, they try to trap Him all the time. And He just stands. He is betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And He just stands. He looks and He says, where is He? And He says, I am He. And He stands and they fall. And you see a majesty in the Lord Jesus. You see a man that it is incomparable. And I dare you, if you have not read the Gospels, read the Gospels and look at the power, the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. He stood with everything against them. He walked through this world without deviating in any way. He just went on steady. Don't we want that? He just went on steady. I see it in His miracles. It's really interesting to go through the Gospel of Luke, specifically, when He goes to Nazareth and then they say, man, look what gracious words He speaks. And then they say, look at this Jesus. He teaches, but not as the scribes. He teaches with authority. Then He cast out a demon in the synagogue. And they said, what doctrine is this? That with authority He speaks to the demons and they come out. Then He heals Peter's mother-in-law. And He's got authority of his sickness. He cleanses a leper, authority over leprosy. He makes a man that they lower. Remember the guy they lowered down in the house? And they said, please heal this guy. And Jesus says, your sins are forgiven you. And the guys must have said, sins forgiven? We wanted him to walk, not to be forgiven. And He says, what is easier to say to the Pharisees? Your sins are forgiven you, or arise and walk? And you see a majesty. He says, that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on the earth to forgive sins. I tell you, pick up your bed and walk. And that guy just, in the authority of Jesus Christ, just gets up and walks. He has authority over lameness and He has authority over the forgiveness of sin. And then they go fishing. Jesus says, here, pull out a little bit. And then He says, go into the deep, cast your nets. And Peter's reluctant, as if to say, man, Jesus, you know about pastoring. You know about the things of the law. You know about the things of God. But leave fishing to me. And He says, nevertheless, at your word, I will put it down. And He puts the net down and they caught a catch. And they were just astonished. They said, Oh, and he says, away from me, I'm a sinful man. He has authority over nature. And then they go sailing together in the Sea of Galilee. And the waves are roaring. And he says to the storm and the wind, be still. And they obeyed. And you see it in his life, in his miracles, the power of Jesus Christ. I see the power in his temptation. 40 days and 40 nights that Jesus was tempted by the devil. And we sometimes get tempted without any help from the outside, just simply our flesh. But then sometimes every once in a while, something from the outside will come and just a simple, and we fall. Where Jesus took the whole brunt of the attack, 40 days, Satan himself, steady temptation, and he was unmoved by it. You see the power, you see the inerrant power that inside of him, the strength of the Lord? And Jesus and James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. We need to think about this stuff. Finally, his death and resurrection, the powers of evil, the world against them, reviled against them, laughed at him, jeered. One of the scenes that are more incredible to me is when they bring him to Pilate and Pilate says to him, don't you realize that I have the power to take away your life? He looks at the Pilate, Pontius Pilate, a governor, a Roman governor, and he says, you have no power except what is given to you from above. You can't do a thing to me. And if my people, my disciples were of this world, they would fight. But they are not of this world. You see a majesty. He's betrayed. He's spat upon. He takes the brunt of the attack upon himself. That takes power. It's much easier to fight than to actually take it. And then on the cross, in his great moment of weakness, he's able to turn to a man and he says, you don't worry, buddy. Today you will be with me in paradise. Who was really in control? Who really had the power? It definitely was not those with the nails. And then the resurrection, he destroyed the powers of the devil, putting them to an open shame, says Colossians 2:15. And let me tell you, we're going to look at different aspects of growing in this power and resourcing in this power. But let me tell you that it is not mere psychology. It is not resolution. It is not simply principles. We are talking about an actual power and actual strength that comes with being in communion with God. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And that comes by knowing him. You will never know the power until you know him. And I want to close very quickly with a story of the late Martin Lloyd-Jones. He was preaching at a church. I think it was in Wales at the time. I think it was there still. And there was a spiritist woman who would go. She was actually part of the authority of the church, or this, not the church, but this spiritist congregation. And she would go there Sunday after Sunday, and one day she was sick. And she decided to stay home. And as she stayed home, she was looking out her window, and she saw just crowds of people just walking by the house, and she was wondering, where in the world are all these people going? She realized that they were going to the chapel, to a church. So she began to follow them, and she entered, and she heard the singing, and she listened to the message, and that day she surrendered her life to the Lord Jesus. And a few years later, she went up to Martin Lloyd-Jones, and she told him about the experience, and she said to him this. She said, you know what? I had dealt with spiritual powers before. At the Spiritist Church, there was power. There was connection. There was some sort of strength of some sort. And I think people are silly who say that there is no such a thing. But this woman stepped into that church and she said to Martin Lloyd-Jones, but when I came here, I sensed the power of God. And the difference was that this power was clean. It was pure. It was holy. Isn't that crazy? And this is where we're called to. We're called to as Christians To have a relationship with the Lord Jesus, to see Him as our goal, to see Him as our model, to see Him as our hero, to hear His call for battle, and to learn how to be able to find strength in Him. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. And I'll tell you what, we become a miracle to ourselves when we learn how to be strong in the Lord. You all know the story with David when his wife and his kids were taken away and the wives and the kids of everybody else was taken away. And he found himself by himself with the 300 that were with him saying, "We're going to kill you." And it says that he strengthened himself in the Lord. One of the greatest secrets of the Christian life is to learn how to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And don't you want that? I want that. I want to walk through this life faithful to the end. I want to walk through this life, and some of you guys have seen me in the last couple of weeks. Yeah, fighting actively, but also a bit sort of moved by it all. I was shaken by it all. But the reality is, you know what? I'm a man in process. I'm a man under construction. And I'm a man that is learning how to be stronger and stronger, not in myself, not in my resolutions, not in my abilities, not in my wisdom, but grabbing a hold of that which God has given us so freely in Jesus Christ. Paul said, "If anyone has reason to be confident in the flesh, I more so. Yet I have no confidence in the flesh." Do you know what it's like to find strength in the Lord and in the power of His might? And if not, will you ask Him with me today, "Teach me, show me Jesus. Take me through the gospel. Show me Jesus. Let me get to know Him. And let me tap into the greatest strength that there is, which is the power of the Spirit of God, being strong in the Lord, His example, but also in His presence with us." Let's pray.